everyone, and welcome to That UFO Podcast. As always, my name is Andy, and thank you if you're joining me once again on the live show over on YouTube. Lots to cover on this one, and hopefully no technical issues at all. Last time went pretty smoothly. Hopefully you can all hear me, and I know you can definitely see me for that much. So thank you to everyone who's joined. Remember, if Mr. Beast on his video, what's the name of it, Would You Fly to Paris for a Baguette, got 57.4 million likes, let's try and hit the like button on this, because it really does make a massive, massive difference. So thank you to everyone joining me. Lots of news stories to cover. It's only a couple of days since I've done one of these, and quite a few news stories popped up over the weekend that I think are very much worth covering here and now, because so much happened in the last kind of 72 hours in this topic, and so much more is going to happen over the next week or 2 weeks, as we have, of course, Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day movie dropping. I have not seen that yet, folks. There's rumours going around from some listeners that asking me, have you seen it? What's it like? I've not seen it yet. I'll just say now, I'm seeing it about 3 days before it comes out. I'm very fortunate. I'm going to get to see it early, and I'll have a review up of it the day before it comes out in the UK. So my review will go live on the 9th, and I'll try and do a spoilery and non-spoiler version, but I have not seen Disclosure Day yet, but it is coming, and it's thanks to all of you that I've been invited to go and see that early. So thank you so much. I've not got any cast or crew coming on for interviews. Unfortunately, I couldn't quite get that done, but I am getting to see it early, so go me. But yeah, lots to cover. Big story, two whistleblowers, Matthew Brown and Dylan Borland, have set up a new fund for whistleblowers. And I think that's a really important story that I'm going to touch on in a couple of moments when I start properly. But that raises a lot of questions as to why they're even doing that. Eric Burleson is going after private groups, and that's something he is not letting go. I've got some information on that for you, some updates as to where that may be going. Lauren Boebert, Congresswoman, has had some interesting comments to make on this topic on national news again. The New York Times has a piece covering religious leaders being met. We've covered that on the podcast previously about those pastors that were informed of the of the UFO topic and potential disclosure. And I know it was a bit messy, but the New York Times are now covering it, which again says a lot about where we are right now with this topic. And also some interesting notes from Lou Elizondo's Persona Non Grata tour from a couple of days ago in Texas. One of the guys over on X, Jiggy Nut, what a great name. Sounds like something you'd say in a drunk night out in Scotland. But yeah, Jiggy Nut gave some really detailed notes as to some of the comments made there. Eric Burleson, congressman that I'm going to talk about, was also a guest on that particular evening. Some interesting things coming from that. Maybe over the last, couple of months and years, I've said plenty of times I've had others. The topic has felt very disparate and everything's felt very separate again. Maybe things are coming back together just a little bit more with Burleson appearing round about, Congress starting to really make some moves on this. But we are also seeing a lot of pushback. We have seen that with last week, those videos from the White House X account, which more and more, even some of the congressmen that are comments on that seem to have been from a rather young, naive and immature social media team posting what they posted. It seemed to have invoked an angry reaction, but that seems to have died down a little bit now. But yeah, we'll get to some of your thoughts and I'll cover some stories. But once again, folks, thanks for joining me in the chat. I'll try and star some comments as I go along. I feel sorry for Jennifer, who had no idea what I looked like, who now has to suffer through that. So hello to everyone in the live. If you're listening to this later on or watching this later on, thanks for joining. Subscribe, comment, like, all that annoying stuff. And like I said on the last show, there's kids making millions off of this, playing with our toys. You know, I've got a book. That's about it. So yeah, here we go, folks. Lots to cover. First off, Dylan Borland and Matthew Brown. They've been at Contact in the Desert over the weekend. Now, the annual event is held this year from May 28th to June 1st. So it's finishing up today as we record this now. It's been running for years. Some of the biggest names across the UFO topic and some of the smaller names across the topic. It's pretty big, including this year, Jacques Vallée, Eric Davis, Avi Loeb, Richard Dolan, and many more have been speaking and presenting across the board. On that, as I record this video, at the full hour of Danny Sheehan's UFO Disclosure 101, Where Are We Now, has dropped for everyone free over at the Contact in the Desert page. So yeah, I thoroughly recommend folks go and check that out. I've not watched it myself yet, but yeah, Contact in the Desert, perhaps I'll make it next year. But the big news, I think, breaking from that, and it's something I think we're going to hear a lot more of, is that Dylan Borland and Matthew Brown, along with Chief Alexandra Wiggins, who we saw at the last hearings, they joined Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp on stage to announce a new venture being set up, a fund for whistleblowers. And I want to see some people's comments on this in the chat. Okay, so a fund for whistleblowers. We have had multiple organisations like this over the last couple of years spring up, haven't we? I'm not going to name any, but people will know the organisations that I'm likely talking about. If someone has come out and asked for money in direct support of whistleblowers, that has happened. We have seen that across multiple different funds and organisations now. However, it's very telling that two actual whistleblowers, Dylan Borland and Matthew Brown, have felt the need to begin their own fund. That is going to raise a lot of questions for me. And I think it will through all of you and other folks as well, because if those funds were doing their job, if people donating that money had gone to whistleblowers, then would there be a need for this? I think it's telling that Matthew Brown and Dylan Borland, who are not ready to make full statements on this yet, I knew about this a couple of months ago. I'd spoken to Matthew Brown and Dylan Borland, as had others. This isn't anything special, okay? And I know I can see already some folks in there commenting. It's anything where groups are asking and coming out and asking for money to support the UFO cause or support legal funds is always going to be run through scrutiny. And Matthew Brown and Dylan Borland will also get that same scrutiny, and they should, but I also think they are hoping and expecting to get that too. They seem to have a lot of credibility in the bank, those two. Dylan Borland came forward at the last hearing, a bit of a surprise. A bit of a surprise witness. He spoke about his event, and so many folks from that and then his appearance on Weaponized with Corbell and Knapp, because we know Jeremy Corbell was the guy who brought him forward, were very sympathetic to Dylan Borland, the way he spoke, the way he presented himself, his story. Matthew Brown was the same. When he came forward speaking again on Weaponized about Immaculate Constellation, what it entailed, the fear he was under, the reparations that have come back on them, the fact they now can't get full-time employment, they're struggling, all of that got them a lot of sympathy, and folks were wanting to give money for various different things. It's interesting, from both of those, what I can say from Matthew Brown to all of you, he said, I should pass on that this is a fund by whistleblowers for whistleblowers. They are cutting out the middleman, so to speak. That probably says something. Where has the money gone previously that folks have been donating for whistleblowers? If it seems, and again, I just have to say it seems, none of the money that various organisations have been asking for to support the legal funds has gone to Matthew Brown or Dylan Borland. Where is it going? That's not a good look, is it? And I think it's difficult for organisations to come forward and say, for various reasons, including data protection, that we have given money to Andy McGrillin for $12,000 of legal costs because he's coming forward to testify in court. They can't do all those details, but there must be some kind of transparency, some sort of accountability. And right now, on the face of it, it just looks like whistleblowers aren't getting any of the funds being created or donated, and these guys are now having to do it themselves. I truly wish them the best of luck. They will get scrutinised for this. They know that. But I look forward to both of those gents hopefully joining me on the show soon, discussing what they're doing, why they're doing it. And hopefully some of those other organisations maybe come forward and let us know, where is that money going at this point? Where has it gone? What's it funding exactly? Because I think those questions certainly have to be asked. But yeah, that was the big news coming out of Contact in the Desert. It would be the Whistleblower Fund coming forward. Yeah, and a few folks there. So you've got Brennan saying, haven't we heard of an existing fund for whistleblowers in the past? We have, and that's an issue. That is a big issue. You've got Styrofoam Boot. Finally, a whistleblower fund that can be trusted. I need to try and stay impartial with this stuff because I'm a commentator. I pass on news and my opinion. I don't think it's too fair to tell people what to speak. But I do think what Styrofoam Boot's saying there is this will be seen probably with a much kinder eye than most of the UFO community than other funds, because it's literally being set up by whistleblowers, not outside forces or folks pretending to be kind or friendly to whistleblowers, because you would like to think you're going to see this money in action potentially from there. So yeah, really interesting on that. Lolacost, cool name, very dangerous name, says, true Andy, is it because the others aren't doing what they're supposed to be? Again, this just seems to be the case, doesn't it? That, and I can't call out other organizations. That's not fair. I'm not in a place to do that. But I would love to speak to some of those individuals who I've spoken to in the past and perhaps get their opinions on this and get their thoughts and feedback as to what is going on just now. So I'll reach out to some folks on that. Motaman said Stephen Greer has over 700 whistleblowers. Then he is going to need a big fund. To quote Jaws, we're going to need a bigger fund for Mr. or Dr. Stephen Greer at this point. But yeah, really, really interesting on that. I know there's going to be folks who are less optimistic about this. And anytime someone comes out and asks for money, asks for funds. But I can just say this much without breaking confidence. I think Matthew and Dylan are trying to do this the right way. And they're not just doing it off their own backs without seeking the advice of other folks, I would imagine. So yeah, I'm really hoping they come on various different shows and podcasts soon. I would love to see them on the bigger shows, Rogan, all that kind of stuff, getting their stories out there, talking about this, because right now we can see there are events coming. We're just a couple of days as I record this, well, 8 days away from the 9th of June, which is the same day we're going to get this event on Capitol Hill, on the stairs of Capitol Hill, led by Grush, Burleson, Luna, and others. I would like to think Matthew Brown and Dylan Borland may be at least a part of that or be mentioned as part of that, because those are two individuals who really have put their neck on the line by coming forward on this. And just regards, before I move on to another story, contacting the desert, I would love to go. A lot of folks got in touch with me and do get in touch with me in advance of the event to say, are you coming out there? Not this year. Too much money, too quick. But perhaps I'll start putting some money away and try and get out there next year for the event. If you like this video and comment on it, that helps with YouTube. All that kind of stuff helps me get extra pennies in the bank, and I can go to some events like that too. And please, if you have not watched it yet, check out the Doomer Friday guys, Pavel, Clint, Dan and Xander, who all recorded a live show. It was excellent, out at Contact in the Desert. Very much recommend it if you've not checked that one out already. Some of you will know I've been doing some stuff with those guys recently. So yeah, definitely check that one out, folks. So at this point, I'm just going to remove that comment on the screen. Eric Burleson right now is an interesting character who is really driving forward disclosure for many, many folks from a political side of things. He's pushing the conversation forward in a big, big way. Now, I remember the early days of Eric Burleson. I interviewed him really early on, and he was really skeptical of the UFO topic. I remember seeing him in the first hearings, and he wasn't dismissive or condescending, but he almost struggled to get his words out and really, you know, talk about this subject in a serious way. But you can kind of appreciate, while he still says now he's skeptical, he is at the front of this charge for many folks in Washington, and is again putting his neck out on the line. I'll get to some of the comments he made at Lou Elizondo's tour in just a little while that are interesting, but he has been pressuring directly private contractors and has visited sites already allegedly connected to UAP programs. Obviously, David Grush is someone who is behind Eric Burleson. He has been taken on by Burleson. He is, it looks like, pointing him in the right direction, telling him where to look, telling him where not to look, telling him where to focus, trying to be clever with this. And I've said so many times, like, you know, when the Avengers say we have a Hulk, it's almost like the UAP caucus has a Grush, and that David Grush is potentially, and I think for me, it's hope as much as anything at this point, that we have a Grush who's on our side, who's fighting to get this subject moved forward in a way that we've maybe not had before. So yeah, really, really interested to see what's happening there. And what I want to do is do a little bit of a poor man's UAP Gerb, who often imitated, never duplicated. but I'm going to focus on a little bit on MITRE. M-I-T-R-E. Now, for me, MITRE was a brand of football used in Scotland and the UK back in the day, still is, and remember it very fondly. But MITRE is an organisation that Eric Burleson has mentioned very, very recently. So I'm having a nightmare with some of these. There we go. So Burleson tweeted, and I've put it up on screen. I've been saying for months, if you want to keep something truly secret, you don't keep it where Congress can find it. You put it in private hands. That's why I'm targeting federally funded research centres like MITRE, RAND and MIT Lincoln Labs. These organisations do billions in government work. They owe the American people answers. So, MITRE, for those who don't know, and this is me doing my poor man's Gerb impersonation, they are not just another defence contractor, which I kind of thought when I saw the name. They're a not-for-profit organisation, and that's an important distinction. Many of those, Lockheed Martin, all that kind of stuff, for-profits, not-for-profit. So they're a not-for-profit organisation that operates federally funded research and development centres, basically trusted technical advisors to the US government across areas like defence, intelligence, aviation, homeland security, cybersecurity, etc. They're not just a defence contractor, and that's why Burleson going to MITRE is interesting. When people talk about alleged crash retrievals and where those materials or biologics may go, they mention, you know, Lockheed Martin because they build platforms. They're an aerospace prime. The factory floor, the people you would associate with aircraft, weapon systems, advanced technologies. So it just sort of makes sense. MITRE is different. And I have had to write this down, folks. I am no Gerb where I can do this off the top of my head. So apologies, right? MITRE is more like a technical brain beside the government. They're not the classic did they build it contractor. The question here is more, did they advise on it, analyse it, catalogue it, hold records on it, help manage it, or keep institutional knowledge connected to the programmes? So Burleson asking MITRE for records is a different angle. He's basically saying, don't just look inside the Pentagon and don't just look at the big aerospace primes like Lockheed. Look at the government-funded research centres as well. Look at the places that may have handled UAP-related records, data analysis, contract deliverables, or archive material that doesn't sit neatly in a Pentagon filing cabinet. And that's what makes this notable. It's not about whether someone had a craft in a hangar. That's a very difficult thing to get, a very difficult thing to access. It's also about whether the paper trail, the analysis trail, or the institutional memory of alleged programs may be sitting with organizations that are in that gray area between government and private industry. You know, as private industry is a place to keep this stuff secret, we all believe, we all think, and it keeps it away from government and away from accountability. Perhaps that gray area, like a MITRE, is where someone like a David Grush has went, let's not go to the place they all think we're going to go and look, the easiest places to hide. Perhaps we should go here, a lesser thought place, and there's going to be actually something, well, not a smoking gun, that's going to point us in a very interesting direction. It does make me think of David Grush's comments just before the release of the UAP files came out, and he said that the videos and pictures that were coming out weren't particularly interesting, but it also wasn't the stuff he was working on that was going to, that he thought would potentially really move this forward, that he, David Grush, talked about being the thing that was going to perhaps break this open. Grush himself said, 60 to 90 days, he felt there would be major progress made on this topic. That event on Capitol Hill on the stairs on the 9th of June, Grush should be there alongside the UAP caucus. I'm intrigued to what is said, how it's said. Is it going to be something in relation to the third file drop of UAP files? Now, if it's going off of every 2 weeks, which has never been an official confirmed date that is going to be every 2 weeks, but we've just had a drop 2 weeks after the first, okay? It would be June 5th for the third drop. I'm going to guarantee just now, through no place of knowledge, that we don't get a drop on that date. I think it's going to be too soon with this event on the 9th of June. I think we're going to have to wait and see what happens after that. We perhaps get a drop after disclosure day, a couple of days after when that comes out, around the 15th of June, maybe the week after. But I think we'll get perhaps something in June. But I think it really does say something about where things may be going, given they're having to do this event on the stairs it sounds to me like the caucus, like Grush and those involved, are a bit pissed off as to where this is going right now. Yeah, so on that similar vein, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert spoke on the news with Shemaine Nugent just the other day and said some interesting things. And I'm going to play some clips for you and chat through some of those comments, because I do think they have to be heard and they are interesting folks. And it'll give me a couple of minutes to get a drink and check some of the comments on the side. But for me, this is a big sign of the times. Multiple folks who are sitting members of Congress actively talking about this topic. Congresswoman Boebert herself said that in skiffs, she has seen and heard things that are far more interesting than what's been released. Burchett said the same, Burleson said the same, Luna said the same, Moskowitz said the same, Grush has said the same. Sort of totally get put off there by Swedneck saying, I'm not even going to try and pronounce that. UAPs are from Ripper. Right, yeah, very good. So, I'm going to play some of those clips. Talks about alien hybrid breeding programs. Talks about the information she's getting about the supernatural being real. This looking supernatural. Let me just get those up for you now, and I'll kind of pause as I go along.
Yes, well, I said it, I heard it best just today. I had a little bit of time in between laundry switching, and I was watching a reel, and this guy said, you know, I trusted and believed in aliens a lot more before the U.S. government started saying they were releasing the information. And I could find a lot of truth in that, but there's a lot of frustration. Every skiff that I've gone into, there's always a caveat and excuses of different contractors who have onion-like clearance, and not everyone is read into everything. And so while one department or one contractor may be familiar with one layer to the onion, there are so many more beyond that. And I do believe that
So first off there what she's saying, I'm in those classified briefings, I'm in those skiffs, I can't discuss the actually interesting stuff. That points to here, is it a cover-up? Is this just noise and clutter being put out into the public domain? Because I don't think the second release of files got anywhere near the coverage the first release did. And actually, the second release of files and videos, that was mainly videos, was far more interesting. I know this is all opinion, folks, right? And I could sit here and tell you those were all UAP. 90% of those videos, you can't even do anything with except look at dots on screens. Some of them actually are very difficult to even see what's on the screen. There were a small percentage of them were genuinely very interesting, and I covered those on with Kevin Knuth, and he made the point, as a physicist, we need the metadata. But that's the point here. How do we bridge the gap to get from what we are being given, because it's not what we wanted, we're being given this, it's like, we know what the public want, there you go, and they're just dropping tat on our plate. We're hearing what Congress are saying in skiffs is far, far, far more interesting, infinitely more interesting. But on the back of that, I bet that's not even the very best stuff. I don't think that's even the stuff that's locked away. I think they're showing Congress what they want to see, but still probably far more legitimate and far more clearer objects than what we're getting to see in the public. And maybe the 9th of June, they're going to really push to try and bridge that gap. We still need a video that's far more interesting than what we've had. Perhaps we need files far more interesting or relevant or newer than what we've had already. Let me play a little bit more of what the Congresswoman said on that interview.
The files that were released recently, while historic, are underwhelming, especially given what I have seen in classified briefings that I'm not yet at liberty to fully disclose. But there's a lot more that is certainly unexplained. There is a lot of underwater activity, and I'm excited for some of that to come out and have the American public give their input to it. And some of this, you know, just very well may be technology that we have tapped into that we aren't letting our adversaries know about. But
so, yeah, comment from the real Stormy there. I believe there are skiffs for them and skiffs for the real people who know. Yeah, they're not showing Congress all the good stuff. They're showing Congress, I think, some of the stuff that they have to, that they absolutely need to, with direction from Grush, with direction from Elizondo, Mellon, whoever it is that's helping move this stuff along. But I totally agree with that there are skiffs for those that know, and there are skiffs for the Congress folks who are getting to see some of this along the way. Now, again, Lauren Boebert making the comment here that a lot of this is proving to her the supernatural. That's going to divide a lot of folks using that kind of language, but I don't think it's unfair. I think what we have to look at here is that this is a bit of an on-ramp. Oh God, that was a weird way of speaking. This is a bit of an on-ramp and a way to frame this topic for people like Congresswoman coming on board who is self-admittedly extremely religious, believes in the word of the Bible, as do many folks within Congress, within government and outside of government, of course, all different religions. I don't particularly care how religious you are, but it's an on-ramp at this point. But we'll have to get to a point potentially where we get past that. And at least folks like Lauren Boebert are now talking about this. I wasn't a big fan. The kind of first time I heard her speak was in one of those hearings, and she brought up some kind of crazy notions and everything else. And I wasn't a fan necessarily. I can imagine what her politics is before folks go on, right? And I appreciate all the emails about the politics side of things recently. But in terms of a congresswoman on camera, on news, talking about this, I think it gets other folks who are like-minded starting to think about this topic and going, supernatural. Supernatural is just things we don't understand yet. Is it the Arthur C. Clarke quote around any advanced technology or sufficiently advanced technology is almost indistinguishable from magic? And yeah, so the supernatural is just the natural we don't even know or realize yet for me. And I don't think it's an unfair way of framing it or thinking about it. Last little piece from Boebert.
Most of the things that we are seeing, we are not familiar with other countries having this sort of technology or even ourselves. And there's a lot that is unexplained and some that is even supernatural. Yes, well, actually, I had brought this up in a congressional hearing, asking about the rumors of there being breeding with these biological beings and humans. This is something that whistleblowers came to Congress about in private settings, and they wanted us to go to actual bases and see for ourselves what was going on, but that access was denied. So this is not something that I've seen firsthand, but there's certainly been a lot of talk of it. So I can't tell you for sure if that is real or not. But again, look back at the Bible and all of the talk of Nephilim and fallen angels breeding with humans. You know, people think I'm crazy for believing in some things, but I believe in the Bible. That's about as crazy as you could get, because I take it at face value and believe it with my whole heart. Even in these, even in some of the documentations that I'm seeing, there's a lot to do with even portals. And I'm interested in more information of that coming out as well. But even to be in a congressional hearing and have enough information to ask the question, is there breeding between these biological beings and humans? You know, there's a there that needs to be answered. And I got a lot of heat from local papers at home and some folks, but we're just asking the questions. If someone is going to come to congressional offices and say that they have seen it, that they have been a part of it, and are read into these programs, then it's worth an investigation. And all of these agencies, even the contractors, when they are too big to answer to government, when they were too big to answer to Congress, the entity that created them and gives them funding, then it's clear that they're too big. And we have got to rein that in and have more accountability.
So there we have it. She talks about portals, breeding between biological beings, and she does say biological beings. Now, I could be going out on a limb here. And for me, is that an assumption? Biological beings? Has she heard we have biological beings? Is she aware of that? Because that seems quite a deliberate statement to make. I'm not jumping on the bandwagon of, oh, that's proof or that's evidence. But for her to say these beings are biological, pretty interesting. Now, it was a little bit of a divisive statement Kevin Knuth made on with me quite recently, where he said he didn't believe that whatever is interacting with us and potentially has a hybrid breeding program would be alien in the sense of the word, it's coming from somewhere else because of DNA and not able to do that. Now, I'm not one to argue with a physicist who would know far more than me on that. I understand the logic. Some folks were saying he wouldn't know and it's all speculation. And Kevin himself said, this is of course all speculation. It would just make sense that perhaps the breeding programs aren't necessarily with aliens, but with future humans, past humans, something that has far more of a genetic link to us. And for me, that's almost a more scary notion, that idea that something else was here or is coming from further away or has been here before and is coming back. I think that would scare the public a lot more than a three-body problem type scenario, sorry for spoilers, where something is really far away and traveling here that isn't human. Pretty scary stuff, some of that. But yeah, the breeding program stuff coming back up. Matt Gaetz, not the most popular character, is he, over in the States, who is right now, talked about it on the same show just recently as well. So this is something that seems to be being pushed. To what end, I don't know, or why. I know a few folks there have mentioned Jason Somoza and his work being absolutely wonderful and excellent. He's just done some work on the Collins Elite over on his program. I've not watched it yet, but I thoroughly recommend Jason Somoza. Some great content, puts a hell of a lot of work into it. The guy's got 50,000 subs in about a year. That's a quarter of what the guy deserves with the work and effort he puts into that show. So yeah, go and check out Jason Somoza's stuff. I ended up sitting beside him on a couch in the bar and chatting for 5 minutes at Sol back in October. And yeah, again, another guy doing a lot of really great work in this community. I will certainly check that out, folks. I do promise to do so on that. So yeah, there we go. We've got Congress talking about this subject in quite a big way. The briefings are far more interesting than what we're getting to see publicly. I imagine this is why, and the one that shows it most is Tim Burchett, who just looks depressed when he talks about what's being released, and it's so underwhelming and disappointing for him. Really intrigued, and I'm not expecting, like I say, anything until the 9th of June to come out. Some of the stuff being released is good. None of it's been incredible. None of it. Most of it's filler or nonsense. And yeah, I want to just touch on the New York Times piece though, because it's kind of related to all of this, folks, as much of this news sort of is, before I get to the comments made by Burleson at Lou Elizondo's persona non grata tour. So it was a piece from Ruth Graham, who covers faith and religion. And the New York Times piece has a look at how UFO disclosure is now colliding with religion, particularly among some conservative Christian circles in America. The basic issue is this: if the government whistleblowers or future hearings continue to push the idea that there may be some form of non-human intelligence behind UAP, not everyone is going to interpret that as aliens from another planet. And let's be fair, most of us are probably there already and have been for some time. I don't know in the chat, folks, where are you at? Are you saying alien? Are you saying interdimensional? Are you saying crypto-terrestrial, ultra-terrestrial, future humans, something else that we don't even know? Are you thinking angels and demons? But is that just a label to put on something that we don't fully understand at this point? I'm not entirely sure. The title of the article, in case folks want to go and check it out, is "In UFO Files, Some Christians See Vexing Questions and Demons," with the subheading, "The Prospect of Intelligent Life Elsewhere in the Universe Raises Unsettling Theological Implications." And it goes on to discuss, for some religious leaders, the concern is that these beings or these experiences are better understood as demonic, fallen angelic, deceptive, or spiritual in nature. That's less than a science question and more theological, but maybe this is where all of this stuff is going to have to come together and really change. Are we going to end up with some sort of, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to say, I genuinely think if we did get a proper disclosure, a proper first contact, a mass awakening, it would create a new religion. And that religion perhaps would be a real mixture of sci-fi and fantasy and lore and faith and everything else, and perhaps more like a Scientology element, but with a real grounding in fact and you know, Christ, maybe we end up, Scientology was the right one, who knows. For those that haven't seen it, go check out the Time Child episodes of South Park, where Cartman wants an N64 or something that's been released. And he can't, oh no, it's Nintendo Switch, I think. And he ends up in the future and religions change and it's all about science. And it's just a really interesting take. And it might end up being something like that, to be honest. So what I think is making this interesting, folks, disclosure, if it ever comes, is not going to land in a vacuum. it's going to land into people's existing worldviews. It's going to be filtered. I don't think, when I see people talk about there will be a worldwide spiritual awakening or an ontological shock, it's going to be so different for everyone. It's going to change and be different depending on what your view is now, what your view may be, your religious leanings, your political leanings. Other folks might just go with the flow. I really don't know, and I don't think we'll know until we get there. Some are going to see it through a national security lens. Some are going to see it through science, some through religion. So the New York Times piece, it's very short, but it's worth checking out. It's reporting on the pastors and religious figures already debating whether UFOs could be demons. Now, I know there's a bit of a murky ground here in terms of the pastors and that whole element or incident where there was some non-government but non-affiliated government individuals approached the pastors and they set up a meeting. We don't know quite who was there yet. Burleson was on the outskirts of it but was asked to comment. He wasn't involved in setting it up. He's been very quick to distance himself from that. But what it has meant is that it's being talked about. And I know some of those channels are very, very debatable in terms of their legitimacy and these people and what they preach or what they try and comment on. L. Sid Barrett says, ready for Kansas to go bye-bye, Dorothy. Perhaps that's going to be what happens for a lot of folks there. But at that point, we're no longer talking about radar data, crash retrievals or Pentagon briefings. We're talking about how society is actually going to process this information, not just if the conversation keeps moving forward, but how and when it moves forward. It's gone mainstream to a point, but it's not fully mainstream yet. It's something that seems to have caught attention, I've said, folks, many times, over in the United States, but certainly not here in the UK in any way, shape or form yet. I've been asked to do a few appearances on various news channels over the last week, and they've all fallen through before I went on air within an hour's notice, just because the news cycle changed. It's not been important enough to stay on the air. Which is disappointing. I don't particularly care about exposure in that sense, but it would just be nice for the public to hear the conversation had in any way, shape or form. That can be very disappointing. And one more note to bring up here, folks. Over the weekend, I'm going to check out or ask you to just have a little look on the screen if you're there. Lou Elizondo has his Persona Non Grata tour, and I'm curious, has anyone been on that yet? It's had a couple of dates. I know some were postponed. Lou had came off his bike, hit by a deer and was recovering from that. But in Dallas, Texas, just a few days ago. Now he's going around spoken word tour on stage, Q&A, and there are special guests on each of the shows. Okay. Some interesting pictures drawn down the bottom there on that particular flyer. But yeah, so user over on X, JiggyNut, at JiggyNut, JiggyNutt, said he attended the Lou Elizondo Persona Non Grata tour in Texas. Tickets are available, folks. I'm going to be very fair here. I've not been to the event. I've not seen it. None of this stuff is available online yet. But Jiggy put his notes that are quite considerable down as to what happened. So the guests on this night were Eric Burleson, Congressman Eric Burleson, and sci-fi writer Jennifer Brody. So I'm going to read through these notes and appreciate I'm just relaying what was said by Jiggy. So what a weird sentence, but here we are. 2026, folks, eh? So he just says, and I believe these are in some kind of order at least. Lou showed a fake UAP that turned out to be a tent. Interestingly, Burleson saw the same video from Arrow. This made me think it's possible Elizondo has a working relationship with Arrow. So it sounds to me like Elizondo has shown a video of what was meant to be a UAP, but also confirmed at the event it's a tent, and it came from Arrow. Burleson confirmed he had seen the same thing. Don't know how Lou got the video. Don't know if that was cleared up, but that's interesting. That was one of the issues with when Lou Elizondo at the smaller hearing type event that had Eric Davis as part of it, where he showed the picture of the irrigation fields and he framed it as it was sent in by a pilot, I think that day or the day before. And he then later said that he wasn't saying it was a UAP. He was saying that it was what pilots are reporting. That's not true. It was very much framed as this is a potential unidentified object. At the time, Lou should have spoken, if that's what he meant, far clearer. And that did, for a lot of folks, do some damage to credibility, because there was the chandelier reflection incident that you know, you can't get away from. And then there was the incident with the irrigation field picture. At least here, it sounds like Lewis showed a fake video that he got from Arrow and confirmed it was indeed a tent. So that hopefully clears that up and has done much, been done much better. He said also the congressional hearings inspired Steven Spielberg to make Disclosure Day. I think that's something Spielberg himself has come out and mentioned in various interviews he's been doing. I also see Emily Blunt has been very praiseworthy of the UFO topic and how in filming for this. I mean, I know you could possibly see it as she's promoting a movie, but she's still been glowing in terms of the subject, how she's changed her mind, how in looking into the evidence and everything that's come along with the topic, that, yeah, it's really got her looking into it a lot more, which is interesting and helps with the mainstream public conversation, folks. Emily Blunt has millions of fans out there. I am an Emily Blunt fan for multiple reasons, not with her accent and Mary Poppins, right enough. That was awful. The Lou mentioned discussing Disclosure. He is discussing Disclosure with pastors and the Vatican. So again, following up on what was said before, is Elizondo one of the non-government guys who spoke to the pastors? We don't know. He revealed as part of that show he's on the spectrum. He has Asperger's. I won't go into that. That's more a conversation to have with Lou. Trump's deputy chief of staff, Stephen Miller, called Burleson to discuss amnesty for those on the programme. And Burleson proposed a 60-day window to come forward. That's really interesting. That's a big comment. So I think it looks like from this show, the bigger comments and statements have come from Eric Burleson, who was the guest. Stephen Miller, I don't know much about the guy. I do know Pavel of Psycho Activo podcast and Doomer Fridays is not a fan of the guy whatsoever. So I don't know what he's done in the United States politically to be such a bad guy, but cool. But yeah, he has come out and said that's something that would be looked at. I think we do need some sort of amnesty for people on various programs to come forward if they have done things that may or may not be seen as illegal or fraudulent, embezzlement. If they're coming forward for the greater good, then there has to be some kind of amnesty to encourage these folks to do so. Otherwise, are you likely to get them? The answer is probably no. Burleson also claimed here, folks, he was flown by helicopter by Jake Barber to see locations of deep underground military bases. You may see the acronym DUM or DUMS, which is really unfortunate, in the Black Desert. Strangely, they ran into Jack Black at the airfield. That's a weird add-on to that story. But let's just take the Burleson in a helicopter being flown to deep underground military bases. That's one that is a big national security concern. So even just forget the UFO aspect of this story. When you look at the US, and I'm sure Russia, China, everyone has them, got a lot less space here in the UK. But those three major superpowers, they will not want folks knowing what their underground bases are, where they are, what they hold. So it's very difficult for folk to come out. And this is where I wonder about folks like Gerb, how he can come out and just name locations like he does. Melinda Leslie, because if you've got the Russians, the Chinese, various spies, etc., that's a big national security concern. And I get why they keep that a lot more secret. Not even so that underground, I'm going to say this one out here. This is a little bit more out there, I suppose, folks, but I imagine between these bases you have kind of underground railway networks that go around the country, all that kind of stuff. It's a little bit more out there, but I'm totally in on that kind of stuff. It's a really cool what if in the UFO topic, and it would be the place to keep, you know, craft, all that kind of stuff, not in hangars out in the middle of the desert, but deep underground, miles away from anything that you can't even reach to. You have to go miles and miles to get this stuff. Doors and doors and doors. Not a key card access. Burleson also said he believes Jake Barber and Michael Herrera, but is interested in finding the facts to validate their stories. I'm hopeful still of having Michael Herrera on the podcast soon. That's an interview I've wanted to do for some time. So I'm really intrigued to get that. And Jake Barber could do us all a favour. Not to be flippant, but come out and make a statement, make some comments on Skywatcher, because they were really keen to engage the public for some time on this and created lovely visuals and, you know, the kind of small documentaries, but it just went away. At least come out and explain that, but they haven't. The last time I heard of Barber or from Barber was at Sol back in Baveno, where he spoke on stage and I got to ask a few questions. But yeah, that's by the by at this point. Couple more things. He asked why Lou said to spend time with your family and if there's a coming calamity. He said Lou Elizondo dodged the question and pontificated about parenting. That's one that Lou's kind of set himself out there for, because he made that statement multiple times, you know, about somber and spend time with your loved ones. Either there is something there and he's keeping it quiet, but it does come across as teasing. And a lot of folks have jumped on that because it just sounds like you're baiting and you're trying to get people interested. Either don't make the comment, I suppose, or try and give a little substance as to why, because that's something a lot of people come back to time and time and time again. And it's stuff in the past that Lou Elizondo himself has been quite against. So yeah, that whole idea, I think, needs kind of cleared up, to be honest. Otherwise, it does come across a little bit sensationally. But that is what it is. When he was asked about the Book of Enoch, Burleson said he hadn't been able to validate alien hybrids, but has been hearing a lot about it, as we have just heard there previously. Burleson has a team of lone gunmen and Grush pushing defence contractors and sending congressional letters to their legal teams backed by subpoena. I imagine he literally doesn't have lone gunmen, but he has individuals pushing those. And I think Grush is a huge part of this, folks, and doing a lot of work in the background. And my take is, and this is, I believe, Jiggy Nut's take here, sorry, folks. This is not me, do not clip this up. My take is that Burleson is a genuine dude trying to do the right thing, but the event left me questioning the trustworthiness of Elizondo. That's what Jiggy Nut said at the end of his notes. And he added, he's surprised that no one brought this up, but he also asked the congressman about the White House aliens.gov troll site. So Jiggy Nut got to ask Burleson a question. Pointing out that it's an absolute contradiction when it comes to being serious about disclosure, I think almost all of us will agree on that. He agreed and said he's with the administration on a lot, but not on this one, and was disappointed. The panel, which would be Jennifer Brody, Eric Burleson and Lou Elizondo, suspects it was driven by a young social media team that's possibly disconnected. I suggested as a response, he breaks out the bolt cutters and visits one of the sites with crafts and bodies that Grush told him about. That fired the crowd up. I also asked about the June 9th event today featuring the congressman, David Grush, James Fox. He said the event is designed to push forward legislation on the topic. So yeah, really interesting, folks, on that one. I believe, I'm not too sure, Lou Elizondo may be releasing these in podcast form or YouTube form down the line, but I imagine it's once the shows are finished. Just a quick thank you, folks. Hit the like button, folks, if you've not done so yet. I imagine most of you haven't. Shame on you. Thank you if you have, though. Remember, those bloody children playing with our Barbie dolls and squishies and all the rage, or hitting their vapes, are getting millions of likes on videos. Give us a like. Bloody hot in this shed. I do appreciate it. Thank you to Craigie for becoming a new member, Styrofoam Boot for becoming a member, Wes Decker, thank you for the chat or whatever that's called. A few pennies, thanks for all the hard work. Thank you to Louise for the super sticker. Again, another super sticker from Cherise Basila. I'm probably killing your accent there. From Retro, I can't remember SEK what the thing is, but 100 of those. And also thank you to David from Attitude of Aggression. It's a wrestling podcast. My contribution to the Get Andy to Contact Fund this year was epic, and you'd have a great time there, my friend. I'm sure I would as well. So yeah. There's a good one. Andy Bones said, I'll be at Louise Elizondo show tonight. Any questions I can ask on behalf of the community? Perhaps stick in the chat, folks, the live chat or the main comment. If you've got a question for Elizondo's show, that could be a good one for Andy Bones to ask tonight. Someone's saying about the Amy Eskridge situation there, folks. I'm not too sure on this, so UFO baddie, right, ask him why he didn't get any help for Amy Eskridge when she asked him. I'm not totally up on if that did or didn't happen. I know the Eskridge situation is a really tender one. I think there's obviously been an update where one of the missing people connected, I'm going to say scientists, but I've seen lots of folks say she was an aide, but that's also a very classified role, that her body was recently found, all very murky, and I get why folks are talking about it, but trying to avoid talking about it. It's a weird time for the UFO topic right now altogether. Logan said to ask, is he a member or formerly a member of the Legacy Program? I don't believe, personally, from what I've heard, that is the case. I think I've said before from the people I've spoken to, and again, I would love people to clear this up. I don't know whether Lou would say it or not. And I think it's one for Jay Stratton's book. Where the hell is Jay Stratton's book? That would perhaps clear up Lou Elizondo's role. There's no doubt he worked where he said he worked. That's beyond doubt at this point. But it feels like he was brought in at the end of OSAP. And when it failed to, and there was already an established program there with OSAP, when it failed to go fully funded, you know, black budget, SAP, whatever you want to call it, they largely disbanded and Lou carried on the work under the guise of ATIP. That's sort of what happened. And I don't mean this in a detrimental way, but sort of like adding another member to the Beatles just before they break up. The Beatles going their separate ways, but someone carrying on the name and the work going forward, almost unofficially perhaps, but the programme and the work was being done. Philly Soul said, thanks for being there. Good to know there's at least one other who sees this. To one of the comments, another fine live from Jock McFrosty. Thank you, folks. Really appreciate everyone who's checked this one out. Lots of great content to come. There's a, for those in the UK, and I think you'll see this perhaps in the US, there's a documentary coming out on the 12th of June on Sky here in the UK. And it's through Louis Theroux's production company. He's not part of it, but it's all about the alien autopsy situation and Ray Santilli and what happened there. That's due out. It's a 3-part series in a couple of weeks. I've just found out about it today. I think I'm going to have someone on from that to discuss the documentary from the mid-90s, remember now at this point, folks. So interesting timing on that one. Filet of Soul. Andy, perhaps try a t-shirt. It's the look in here. I'm always more comfortable in hoodies. But t-shirts on the live stream. I've tried to look mildly professional. I should get one of my own podcast t-shirts and put it on, really, but I'm a bit funny with material. You can check out the store, folks, at ufopodcast.com/store. Loads of hoodies, t-shirts and stuff like that if you want to kind of contribute as well. I literally make like whatever the lowest percentage is across merchandise because I just want people, if they want to get some stuff, to grab some stuff. But listen, thank you to everyone. If you want to get in touch, there is a members only show. If you want to sign up and enjoy this content, you get no adverts, no sponsors, early access, and you get members only content. There's a show coming out this week where I'm answering various questions that I've been putting up online on the YouTube, on the Patreon. So if you want to sign up to our YouTube membership, greatly appreciated. Less than the price of a coffee. Same with Patreon, same with Apple, same with Spotify. All of those go a great way to me doing this as I do and doing it full time. And someone's mentioning, and I'm sorry I've never mentioned this, but I do have a book. If you want to pick up Atlas of Unidentified Flying Object, it's available all over the place online. Greatly appreciate it. James Graham, get a window. I am in a literal shed outside my, I can't put a window in where I am, basically. But I'm hoping to do a little bit of work potentially in the shed that'll make it a little bit more pleasant and nice for me in the coming days and weeks. I've been in touch with someone today. So if you're asking, you know, or wondering perhaps where the money goes, it's going to be going to that in the coming days and weeks. But yeah, thank you to everyone who's watched, listened. Likes, comments, shares, reviews all make a massive, massive difference. I appreciate you listening, checking this out, watching. If you want to know or want to hear any news items, the more of you that get in touch with me, it really does help out. It really makes a big difference to me, and I love hearing from you on that. So thank you for everyone watching, listening, sharing, liking, subscribing, doing all that cool stuff. I think June is going to be a pretty crazy month for the UFO topic. I'm not just saying that. I think in terms of this year, it might be the month we look back on at the end of the year and go, wow, what the hell happened then? And until then, folks, in the coming days, you'll hear more from me. I've got interviews coming out this week with Dean Alioto on his new documentary on experiencers. Some other stuff coming out soon. Michael Herrera hopefully coming up in the coming weeks and months. Oh, Jeremy Corbell next week. If you have any questions for Jeremy Corbell, always a really popular one. And I'm hoping to have a really honest, frank and in-depth discussion with Jeremy. Let me know in advance. That would be greatly appreciated. Go check out, I don't know if I'll be on Doomer Friday this week. I always wait on an invite. I never assume. But go and check out the Doomer Friday stream. Go check out all those guys' podcasts as well, because they've been a really good bunch to me. Pavel Psicoactivo, Xander's Dreamland Motel. If you like going to sleep, listening to a very soothing voice with some lovely tones over the top of it. Clint Weldon's Night Shift. And of course, Dan Cleary's Others from Another Mother. There are so many things to choose from right now. And there's a lot of great people doing a lot of great work out there. Sorry if I've not mentioned them. All of you guys can recommend everyone to everyone. But I will speak to you all very, very soon.